I'm going to come to the Word of God this evening. We're coming first of all to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28. Good thing about a baptismal service is that, as usual, I'm not the most nervous person in the meeting, because there are a number of candidates tonight, and I know they're anxious about what lies ahead. But we do know the Lord will help, and the Lord will undertake this evening. And we trust He'll undertake for the preaching of the Gospel as well this evening. Matthew chapter 28, we're going to read from verse number 18 and then over it. In Mark's Gospel, we read a couple more verses by and by. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, the last chapter of Matthew's Gospel, and we're the last few verses beginning to read at verse 18, and you'll see the Lord Jesus is the speaker here this evening. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even on to the end of the world, or the end of the age. Amen." And then we'll go to the end of Mark's Gospel, Mark 16. And again, we're reading just a couple of verses, verse 15. And verse 16, and here's the Lord again, and this Mark's account of what the Lord Jesus has said. Mark chapter 16, I'm reading from verse 15 and 16. And again, Jesus is speaking, and he, the Lord Jesus, said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." And we trust the Lord will bless the reading of His own precious and infallible and errant word for hearts again this evening. There are some words in English that can mean different things depending on the context. One of the words is the word commission. And it used to be when you went on holidays, particularly in the days when we didn't have the euro, you would look for an exchange rate, and sometimes you would look at the commission. To be honest with you, what really made me suspicious when they said there was no commission, but then they just can't win with me at all. And sometimes commission is something that's charged, it's like a fee charge on an exchange rate or indeed some other transaction. But the word commission also means the authority to act, the authority to act. What we've read this evening is known as the Great Commission. It's God's authority for His people to act. And in this Great Commission, He gives us a number of things that we are to do. We want to look at them very briefly this evening, because I want you to understand, as we witness the baptismal service here this evening, this is not a Baptist thing. This is a biblical thing. This has not come down from some Baptist headquarters somewhere. This has come down from heaven itself. And this is God's word this evening. And so we have the authority this evening to do what we're doing, and we discover it here in the Word of God. But there are a number of things that we're asked to do here. We're told in verse 19 of Matthew 28, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." Mark puts it like this: "He said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature," or to all creation, or indeed to every person. I want to think first of all about the provision that's extensive. The Lord wouldn't have told us to go and preach the gospel to every person in every corner of the world if the gospel wouldn't be effective to every person in every corner of the world. Paul tells us in 1 Timothy 1 verse 15, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." And we have the authority tonight, we have the authority to act tonight and to preach the gospel. What is the gospel this evening? Well, very simple. The word gospel means good news. Paul puts it like this in 1 Corinthians: "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." He could say again to the believers in Corinth, "We preach Christ crucified." Here's the good news this evening. You and I were born in sin. All have sinned, the Bible says, and come short of the glory of God. We know we're sinners. We know that we're born in sin. No one ever had to teach us how to lie. No one ever had to teach us to do wrong things. It's just a our nature this evening, because we're sinners by nature, we're sinners by practice, and we're sinners by choice. And today, if we continue in that sinful condition, we're under the condemnation and wrath of God. But here's the good news tonight. That's not good news. The good news tonight is that God sent His only begotten Son into the world to pay the price for your sin and my sin. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're told in Scripture, there is therefore now no condemnation for them which are in Christ Jesus. Paul tells us again that God will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Here's the good news for you this evening. The good news tonight is that you can be saved. The good news tonight is that your sins can be forgiven. The good news tonight is you can be assured of heaven as if you're already there. We live in an uncertain world. We live in uncertain times. The end is no respecter of age, no respecter of person, no respecter of any area or any class or any creed. We don't know what tomorrow will bring forth. Here's the good news. It doesn't matter if you know Christ. Because if you know Christ, if you close your eyes in death, you open them and close. And you can spend eternity with Him. That's the good news of the gospel this evening. And the good news is, it's available to you tonight. That's why the Lord told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to the whosoever will. See the provision that's extensive this evening. There we see the possibility that's exciting here as well. Matthew 28, verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. That word teach means to make disciples. And when you think of the Christians in the early church, they were called disciples. I know there's another use of the word disciple, but I just want to think of disciples as being Christians. We're told to make disciples. We're told to go and preach the gospel that men and women and young people will be saved by the grace of God. And then we're told to baptize them, because baptism always follows salvation. We'll say a bit more about that in a moment. But that's what we have the authority to do this evening, to preach the gospel that men and women and young people might be saved. Now, when you think of the early disciples, you know that the Lord has 12 disciples. It's interesting when you break it down and have a little look at them. When you think of their toil for a moment, what did they work at? What did they do to earn a living? Well, we know from Matthew chapter 4 that Peter and Andrew were fishermen. That's a noble profession in those days, and there were many fishermen. These men earned their living by the sea. Then when we come to a man called Matthew, sometimes called Levi, and we discover that he was a collector of tax. He worked within that revenue. He was a man who had a desk job. These other men would be out in the Sea of Galilee in all weathers, and they earned their living, perhaps in a difficult way, in a hard way, but they earned it as fishermen. Here was Matthew. He was a tax collector. He had a desk job. We can mention others in Scripture. Lydia was a seller of purple. The Philippian jailer, he worked for the prison service. Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews. The man in Luke 16, he was saved, he was a beggar. And so in all strands of society, regardless of what they worked at, you discover the Lord was able to save them. That means tonight has been saving you. Doesn't matter what your occupation is. Doesn't matter what you do for a living. Doesn't matter whether you're in school, primary school, secondary school, university, makes no difference tonight. You could be employed, you could be a white-collar worker, a blue-collar worker. You might even have a collar at all. Doesn't make a bit of difference. The Lord's able to save you tonight. See the toil this evening. We could say a little bit about their temperament tonight as well, because these men were all of different temperaments. We know that Peter, we've been studying Peter for some time in our Lord's Day morning meeting, that Peter was a very impulsive man. Very often he would speak and then think later. That's the sort of man that Peter was, but the Lord was able to save him. Then I've mentioned Matthew already. Matthew was a tax collector. He'd be viewed by fellow Jews as a bit of a traitor. Because to go and work for the Roman authorities, you really were working for the enemy. The Jews had a desire to be set free from the Roman Empire, to be set free from Roman domination, and yet Matthew and Nicodemus was another, this was the case. There were some of the Jews who changed sides. And they thought if we can't beat them, we're going to join them. And so he had been used as a victim. He was one of the disciples. And then, of course, there was a man, perhaps not well known, his name was Simon, called Zelotes, or Simon the Zealot. He would have taken a blood oath that he would die for Israel rather than let the Romans have control. He would have been used by the authorities as like a terrorist. He was a rebel. He was someone who would be willing to shed his blood and possibly shed someone's else's blood just to get rid of the Roman authorities. You can see the difference in the churches. Matthew viewed as a traitor. And here, right in the other extreme, we have Simon the Zealot, and yet the Lord saved the both of them. You see tonight that matters not about your calling. Matters not about your temperament tonight. Doesn't matter tonight, indeed, whether you're orange or green this evening, that makes no difference. The Lord Jesus Christ is able to save you tonight. These men had their lives changed by the gospel. Indeed, Levi, when he was saved, he made a feast in his home, and he invited all his fellow workers, and he brought Jesus along to share the gospel with them. It not only changed him, but it had changed those who worked with as well. You see the thought, you see the temperament. It's interesting when you look at some of them, how they were told about Jesus. Andrew is one of the disciples. He heard John the Baptist preach, and John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world." He heard someone preach about Jesus Christ. That's a wonderful way to get saved. You can get saved tonight as we preach about Jesus Christ. But we tell you tonight that there is no salvation in any other except through the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And sometimes that's how the Lord saves people, simply through the preaching of the gospel. Some preacher preached about the Lamb of God, and Andrew was saved. Then we discover that Andrew went and found his own brother, Simon, and he told Simon about Jesus. Maybe you have a brother who's saved tonight, and he's always looked at Jesus. Some family members, and it could be a husband, could be a wife, could be a son, could be a daughter, could be a mum, could be a dad. Because you know that's how Peter did. Some of the family cared so much of him that told him about Jesus Christ. Have you family who love you tonight? And they love you so much they want you to be saved tonight. You thank God for them. What a blessing you are. I thank God for a mother who could see. What an impact she had on our family. What an impact she had on the church. You know, she had feared, I think it was in the late 60s in Cope Baptist Church. Wonder if she had rejected the Savior. Wonder tonight without you standing here in this church. What a difference a mum or a dad can make to a home when they bring Christ in. What a difference. You see, it doesn't matter how you're told. Andrew heard a preacher, but Peter, he was called Simon initially. He heard from his brother. But then the Lord spoke directly to a man called Philip. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and find Philip. And the Lord just spoke to Philip himself. Maybe you've been reading the gospel tract. Maybe you've been reading a verse of scripture. You know, when you travel around your province, you sometimes see that the friend simply Jesus sees. Sometimes a little verse of scripture on a tree or on a telegraph pole. Sometimes even in Belfast City, you may see someone still with the old sandwich board and the Word of God on it, but somehow the Lord has been speaking to you, maybe through circumstances. It just seems week after week here, in refining, we hear with someone else who has read this scene of time, and God speaks through them. And maybe through circumstances, the Lord has just been speaking into your heart. You haven't heard a preacher. It's not a family member, it's just you know that there's something that you need tonight. And you know you're not ready. And you know the death has to come your way. It wouldn't be absent from the body and present with the Lord. Andrew listened to a preacher. Peter was told by his brother. The Lord spoke directly to Philip. Nathaniel, another man who we meet off there, it was Philip went and said, "Philip, find us Nathaniel, sick of a friend." What a wonderful thing to have a friend who knows the Lord. Might be a family member, just a friend. But I'll tell you something, if there's someone who wants to tell you that Jesus, they're a real friend. If you've got a friend tonight who's taking you away from the Lord, they're not a good friend. But what a wonderful friend it is when someone's willing to tell you about the Lord Jesus. You see, when you look at the early disciples, you look at their toil, and you look at their temperament, you look how they were told, you discover that life was tough for them. We have to be honest tonight. You come and trust the Lord. Listen, it's not going to be easy from here on in. Jesus was one of the disciples, were told in Acts 12 that he was killed. And he was killed because of his faith. Doesn't mean an easy night tonight. I have to be honest with you tonight. Doesn't mean there was no problems, but I'll tell you this, the biggest problem you have in your life tonight is not a financial problem. It's not a drug problem. It's not a domestic problem. You might have these things. The biggest problem you have in your life tonight is a problem of sin. And if you come to Jesus Christ, that sin problem can be dealt with. And I'll tell you, when the Lord deals with that sin problem, then things take on a different meaning and there's a greater understanding of things that are going on in the world. We could say so much about the disciples this evening, the toil. They had all different occupations, their temperament, they were different temperaments, they were told in different ways. They found life tough even after salvation, but God used them and used the talents he had given to them. If the Lord saves you, the Lord will gift you. And the Lord will gift you in a way that you can encourage other Christians, you can challenge other Christians, you can become part of what we call the body of Christ. And what a blessing you can be. What a blessing you can be to other people. Peter never thought when he was out fishing on the Sea of Galilee, on those long, hard nights, that one day he would meet a man called Jesus. One day the Lord Jesus would save him and change him. And one day he would stand up and preach the gospel and 3,000 souls would be saved on the day of Pentecost. Peter never expected that to happen to him. It could be amazing what the Lord could do with your life tonight. You see, the provision that's extensive. This message is for everyone tonight. You see, the possibility is exciting. You could be saved tonight. Then you see the public expression. Look at Matthew 28, verse 19 again. And here's our authority for preaching the gospel, our authority for making disciples, and our authority for baptizing. Verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. And that word teach means to make disciples. And so these people are saved. And when you preach the gospel, when you tell them that Jesus, the mighty to save, then it says they are to be baptized. Baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Those who are saved, those who became followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, were to be baptized. Now that's why we have a baptismal service this evening. Baptism won't save anyone. Baptism is here to publicly express that someone has put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, when someone steps into the water, they're saying, I identify with the death of Christ. When they go down underneath the water, they're identifying with the burial of Christ. But you know, they don't stay underneath the water, at least that hasn't happened yet. When they come up out of the water, they're identifying with the risen Savior. You know what they're saying to you tonight in this gallery? They're saying, I'm on my way to heaven. Not because I come to a Baptist church, never in a million years. There's people who go to Baptist churches and they'll go to hell. I'm on my way to heaven because I have put my faith and trust not in a church, not in a creed, not in a catechism, but in Christ and Christ the Lord and what Christ accomplished at Calvary. That's all we're depending on tonight. Listen, that's all we have tonight. Well, nothing else for you tonight. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee in the name of Jesus Christ. That's all we have tonight. We have nothing but Christ, but we need nothing, only Christ. And when they're being baptized, when they go in under the water, they're saying all things have passed away. When they come up out of the water, they're saying all things have become new. And it's a public expression of an inward conversion. And they're saying to you tonight, we're saved by Christ's amazing grace. Peter, when he preached the gospel, said, repent and be baptized. Baptism follows repentance. Acts 2:41, may that gladly receive the word. Now as we preach the word tonight, if you gladly receive it, if you're saved tonight, then you too should be baptized. They that gladly receive his word were baptized. It's not babies who are baptized. It's believers who should be baptized. And that's why the six people who've come forward this evening are going to identify with Christ. Because they believe they have been healed, and they're saying to you tonight, we're not ashamed of Jesus Christ. I'll tell you, if I never preached tonight, baptism is one of the greatest preachers. Just when you publicly see how someone has come to know Christ as their Savior. You see the provision that's expensive tonight. This is for everyone. You see the possibilities to change tonight. You could have come into a private baptism tonight, not knowing Christ as your Savior, and you could leave as a new creature in Christ Jesus. You see the public expression tonight. There are those who have been saved, and they're saying to you tonight publicly, by going through the waters of baptism, that they're depending on Jesus. On Christ, the solid rock we stand, for all other ground, the sinking sand. You see the provision that's extensive, the possibility that's exciting, the public expression. I want to talk finally and very briefly that those people perish eternally. Let me read from Mark's Gospel again. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You see, those who were saved should be baptized. That's what the Bible teaches. We don't see any exclusions at all. Salvation, then baptism. Does that mean that we have to be baptized to be saved? No, it doesn't. I could give you many examples. Think of the thief on the cross. You know, he was about to draw his last breath. He couldn't pay anything, he couldn't buy anything, he couldn't go anywhere. Do you know all he could do? Just believe. He said, Lord, remember me when I come into thy kingdom. And the Lord said, today shalt thou be with me in Christ. Never was through waters of baptism, and yet he was going straight to glory. Baptism should follow salvation, but baptism is not essential for salvation. This verse proves it. Let me read it all to you. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not, no mention of baptism, he that believeth not shall be damned. Tonight baptism won't save you. But I'll tell you this, if you're an unbeliever, you're damned tonight. That's what the Bible says. I can't sugarcoat this. I can't water this down. I can't make it more powerful. I just have to tell you what it is. But you and I are sinners in the sight of a holy God if we don't come to Christ. And we don't repent of our sin and accept Christ as our Savior. This book says, he that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth in him. That's it tonight in a nutshell. What does it mean to believe? It means you're putting your trust, like our candidates this evening, in Christ and Christ alone. Not a church without a shepherd. Not a creed, not baptism. They're depending on Christ and Christ alone. That's the only hope they have tonight. That's the only anchor they have tonight. That's the only rock they have tonight. And you know, all of God's people tonight can say amen to that. That's all we have. We've got Christ and Christ alone. You see the provision that's extensive. You see the possibility that's exciting. You can be saved. You see the public expression. Baptism identifies publicly that we belong to Christ. You see that there will be those who will perish eternally. He that believeth not shall be damned. Let me say something about the presence that is essential. Let me read Matthew 8, verse 20 again. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. You see, the Lord doesn't save you and then say, now on your own, see how you get on. Listen to this. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, here's the word of the Lord Jesus. I am with you always. When? In the good times. In the bad times. In the happy times. In the sad times. Times when the little one is born into the world and we're rejoicing. Times when we say goodbye to someone we love and our hearts are breaking. Spoke to many people in my pastor now for over 20 years. And countless people have said to me, we don't know how we will have put through
but it hasn't been preaching yet. Okay, to try and live with my friend. I'll tell you, it's a lonely pathway, it's a difficult pathway. It's a troublesome pathway. To die without Christ is a tragedy. To live without Christ is terrible. The Lord says to you tonight, you come to me, accepting your Savior, says I will love you every step of the way. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Listen, that's God's word tonight. That's not a Baptist matter. God's word to you tonight is that you can be saved. You must be saved. You need to be saved. And he's willing to save you tonight when you come. I said to you before, I'm sick to the teeth of weather one. And every time one passes, somebody said to me this morning, I hear there's more trouble coming. I said, would you just get out on the road? We have the beast from the east, the parasite night. There's the pest from the west. I don't know where it's West Belfast or where it is, but there's a pest from the west that's supposed to be coming as well. I'm fed up with the beast from the east and fed up thinking about the pest from the west or the storm called Emma or whatever storm happens to come. I'm fed up with all these weather warnings, but I'll tell you something. One of the senior civil servants was introduced and he said we have 300 staff ready with 130 printers available to salt the main roads. We have 12 specialists. Snow blowers, we have farmers, we have specialists, contractors all ready to help. We have 86,000 tons of salt on the roads already. We have another 60,000 tons ready to go. We have 5,000 salt bins, 50,000 grit pads provided on a self-help basis on route. And we have done everything we can and we're ready for the beast from the east. And the beast came. Some nodded, some didn't. But they did the best they could because they heeded the warning. The Lord says to you tonight, listen. He that believeth not shall be damned. I was up with my mother's when the friend was sitting in two for the snow and she had a snowflake. Not a snowflake. Some places he skipped and listen. No one would escape this. He that believeth not shall be damned. And God's warning you tonight. And will you be ready for the warning? Or will you just ignore it and pass it to the one side perhaps you've just done before? There's no one here too young to be saved. There's no one here too old to be saved. But some of you could be the two young. It's time to get ready. It's time to get ready tonight. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy word again this evening. And Lord, we thank you for the Great Commission. And so Lord, we know tonight when we stand in this pulpit and we preach the gospel to everyone in this building, Lord, we're doing exactly what you told us to do. We know, Lord, when we stand in this baptism of thanks and one by one the believers come and they publicly witness what Christ means to them. Lord, we know we've got your word in us. And so, Lord, we're standing on solid ground tonight. We're not standing on shaky ground tonight. And Lord, when we tell men and women that he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, Lord, if they believe, then they will be saved. Lord, when we say, he that believeth not shall be damned, Lord, it's every ministry. So, Lord, speak to hearts tonight. Lord, make this a really special night. Maybe some young or old, middle aged, matters not, male or female, boy or girl. May someone trust Christ tonight and know Jesus as their Savior. What a difference he makes. For we ask it in our Savior's precious name. Amen. We're going to sing.